Our scripture is from the Christian Standard Bible. It is Colossians 3, verses 12 through 21. Paul wrote to the Colossian church, "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Well, you have probably had the opportunity to read over your May issue of the Bosquedale newsletter just yet, because it's just available to you this morning. as you look at it, my article, and actually I have an honor and a privilege of having the front page, but it's just because I'm the pastor. But you'll see my article is on what I've come to call Christian home emphasis. A number of years ago, some Baptist denominations had what they called Christian Home Week, and they had it annually, usually the first week in May. I was very familiar with it in my years as a Southern Baptist minister, but that sort of went away. And I don't know if it was an American Baptist week or not, but we don't observe it as American Baptist as a denomination. At any rate, I thought it was a very, very good idea, and I've carried on the Christian home idea almost every May. You know that we have done this before, and even into part of June. So without specific denominational support, it's now a Bosquedale emphasis for the next several weeks, mostly on special Sundays like today. This is just for starters. As we think about the Christian home, just generally think about our homes as Christian homes. It seems to me we face the peril of accepting a part for the whole. Could it be possible that some families that pretty much go to church and consider themselves Christian have only a partial instead of a genuine article as a Christian home? And this is one of the main reasons that I think we need to give some special attention to what is a genuine Christian home, so we don't settle for a substitute rather than have the real thing in our homes. So what is genuine? What is a genuine Christian home? Well, I think a good place to start is with moral standards. Does your home identify and teach your children early on what are high moral standards? Do we do that? This, of course, becomes more of a challenge as our children get into school, even into elementary school, but certainly as they move through middle school into high school, their peers become more and more likely to be influencers of your kids, or in the case of Bosquedale, of our grandkids, their ideas and attitudes and behaviors. The greatest influence that Christian parents can have on children in the home is what they see in you, what you model for them, how you respond to each other as husband and wife, as their mom and dad or their grandmother and grandfather, what you do on weekdays and weeknights with your Bible, possibly having the priority of a family time centered around evening dinner time with a time for a short devotional. I'd have to tell you, that's a treasured practice that I have to admit grew more and more lax in my own family as the kids got older. Actually, that's when they needed it most, all the way through high school and beyond. An open and free pattern of speech in the home, talking about God, talking about Jesus, talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, all of that said, a true Christian home is where all the members of the family are led by devout parents to truly believe in the existence of the supreme being, God. Now, I'm not talking about children asking or wondering, is there really a God or who is he? What I'm suggesting here is that the home functions completely around the idea that God, Almighty God in heaven, is the great influence on all that happens every day in this family, making a clear understanding in everything that we do that it's God who is leading. A Christian home, I believe, is a home where everyone goes to church every Sunday. Well, that's just a given. Any preparation needed by kids to get to church on time are reviewed and checked by parents as a routine on Saturday night. And as the kids get into the last grades of high school, coming home late after, say, 11 on Saturday night is just not an acceptable practice, and honored as such rather than resented by high schoolers. It's an attitude that is identifiable as Christian. And is it a home where all the family members, when all have reached a reasonable age, that is 11 or 12-ish, all members have been guided and helped to make their own personal commitment to Christ? They've been baptized as an outward demonstration of their heart conversion. In a devout Christian home, this is not a decision-making process that is handed over to the church, to their Sunday school teachers or such. Christian parents in a Christian home take the distinct lead in this with every child. There are probably more ways to have a positive identification of what is a Christian home, but I believe what I've just covered is a good basic list. And let me just make it very clear that I'm using the word Christian as an adjective. It's not a noun. I'm going back to, hundreds of years back now, for when I was actually a public school teacher. I taught English. And an adjective is a modifier. It's a word that is used to identify a quality of the thing, a quality of the noun that it's modifying, or to help specify the noun as distinct from something else. And when the word Christian is used as an adjective, it denotes a quality that is distinctive about the noun. In this case, the noun is home. That's the noun to which the adjective Christian is attached. So when I ask, how Christian is your home? I'm referring to a home that has the distinctive difference of having the quality Christian or being Christ-like. And I guess when we point out some qualities, like I just have, about the marks of a genuine Christian home, that may be sort of like the definition of one. But I found a specific definition of a Christian home that's been defined by Dr. Olin T. Binkley, is a former president of a Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And this definition has at least the following three characteristics. So I'm just giving them to you as he gave them to me as I read it. First, a Christian home is a home where Christ is known, trusted, and obeyed. It's a home where Christ lives as Lord, as friend, as teacher, and as Savior. And as is always best to do, Binkley referenced that with Scripture. Mm-hmm. Like this, a husband loves his wife deep and with a deep and unchanging love, even as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. The wife loves and reverences her husband and recognizes him as the head of the household, Ephesians 5:21 through 24 and verse 33. The children respect and obey their parents in the Lord, Colossians 3:30. All of those are qualities that are scriptural qualities. And a Christian home is a home where the husband and the wife love each other sincerely and love each other steadfastly. The vows that they made before God at the and the state, if it was in Illinois, on their wedding day are treated as unconditional commitment to each other as long as they both shall live. And that love should prevail between a husband and wife. And it manifests itself on levels of the social, of sexuality, and of sacrificially. God gives his smile of approval to the romantic attraction of the husband and the wife for each other. If married love is to reach its highest level, it must be characterized by a spirit of sacrificial self-giving on the part of each to the other and for the other. A Christian home is a home where there is a creative relationship between the parents and the children. The husband and wife have a spiritual responsibility to help each other as spouses to be the best Christians they can possibly be for themselves and for each other. In turn, they have a responsibility to provide spiritual nature and encouragement. Spiritual nurture and encouragement to their children, as well as provision for the children's material needs. The parents must not delegate to the church the sole or even a major responsibility for the spiritual training and discipline of their children. Mm-hmm. Parents must recognize that it is first their responsibility for the spiritual training and the discipline of their children. Children need to realize that they too have a responsibility to God for assisting in making the home Christian. It is the will of God that they respect and honor their parents in keeping with the fifth of the Ten Commandments. If they would be pleasing to the Lord, they must be recognizing the authority of their parents. And children need to overcome their just common inherent tendency to be selfish and to put forth an effort to grow toward spiritual maturity that involves responsible action within the home. You see, I think Dr. Brinkley did a very good job, and he wanted to share it thoroughly with you. And speaking of good definitions, Paul defined love often, and he did it again in our scripture text for this morning. And in this Colossians segment that we have. So I encourage you, read over again verses 12 through 17. You read there his guidance to the church of what kind of love is Christian love. And then he goes on in verses 18 through 21 to apply that in families, or as we would say now, in Christian homes. And then read 1 Corinthians 13. It's the best chapter on love in the Bible. Read over Ephesians 5. I'm going to get these words right pretty soon. Ephesians 5:21 all the way over to chapter 6, verse 4, for Paul's instruction for Christian households. Our Bible is very clear on who we should be with our families to be Christians in our homes. What should we focus on? What are some steps to making our homes more Christian? I'm assuming that none of us believe that we've quite mastered this just yet. So I'll propose a list of three here. Three gifts and activities of real Christianity that we need to have and we need to maintain in a creative relationship between parents and children. We need the gift and the activity of faith. Faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him in faith." Amen. Faith in God, faith in yourself, faith in each other, in everyone, faith in all the members of the family, faith in the future, always a future based on the sovereignty of God. And then there's the gift and activity of hope. Hope is based on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. You see, we're assured in Scripture, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. 2 Peter 1:3. And then we said goodness and faithfulness. And in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." That's where we have our hope, in the faithfulness and goodness of God. Hope is based on commitment to Christ, initial and constant commitment of all family members to Christ as Lord of that family. Mm-hmm. And hope is based on the presence of God in the hearts of others outside of the family, such as, well, members of your church, and here in our own hearts. And then there's the gift and activity of love. You know, there are three Greek words that are used to communicate the nature of love, and I talk about the differences of those three, but here I just want to give you a specific focus on the greatest and the most comprehensive kind of love. You know what it is, agape. Agape is sacrificial, self-giving love, the unconditionally godlike love. And this love always puts the best interests of others ahead of the interest of self. Well, those three gifts, those three activities, faith, hope, and love. You've heard of that somewhere else, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest teachers, mm-hmm. Apostle Paul, wrote, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13. That ends that wonderful biblical love chapter. Well, if we want to have faith, hope, and love in abundance, we need to let Jesus Christ dwell not only in our hearts, but through that into our homes, to our Christian homes, as the Lord, as the teacher, as our friend, as the Savior. Well, perhaps what I've laid out in detail today seems pretty intensive, and thus it may be challenging. But what I meant it to be is to be helpful and to be encouraging. The promise that meets the challenge that we've had is that Jesus Christ, the promise that meets that challenge, Jesus leaves no doubt his indwelling spirit will assist and encourage us. And ours can be Christian homes if, well, not if, but when we will trust and obey Christ. And as we love our companions and our children genuinely, earnestly, and always from the bottom of our hearts. Trust and follow Christ for guidance. Trust him for help as you examine your own home and seek to know more deeply your Savior as Lord and Master of your home as a definable, distinguishable Christian home. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.